This program, brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com, is suitable for mature audiences only and may contain explicit sexual information.
My name is Marcy Prochowski, and welcome to A Taste of Sex Erotic Poetry Readings. One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco is a place of freedom. It's where people come together to explore their desires on a physical level, on an emotional level, on just a raw, raw, raw sensation level. We don't just write it. We live it. And we're here on A Taste of Sex Erotic Poetry Readings to tell you all about it. So stay tuned in, because we're going to turn you on.
Taking his softness past my lips, sliding and swirling my tongue slowly, liquids accumulating from my glands, folds of skin becoming taut, smooth, red, round head, primal moan, metamorphosis, a salute to my throat, my saliva, my fingers, my palms, my lust.
Abby. I have a piece from Abby called Love and Blowjobs.
Love and Blowjobs. I've been told I give head like a black woman. I took this as a great compliment. When I was 16, I refused to put a penis in my mouth. That lasted for 5 years. Oh, what a joy it was to discover the power that came with coming in my mouth. A mixture of man's vulnerability, desire, and surrender. That look in his eye at the moment he knows his absolutely most favorite experience in the world is seconds away. Taking his softness past my lips, sliding and swirling my tongue slowly, liquids accumulating from my glands, folds of skin becoming taut, smooth, red, round head, primal moan, metamorphosis, a salute to my throat, my saliva, my fingers, my palms, my lust. The man whose cock I love to taste and whose heart I love to love tastes so sweet, that juicy load. No anxiety for impending bitterness, much like our experience together.
You know, before I came to One Taste, I actually really didn't like giving blowjobs at all. Now I actually really like it. Beth! This is a piece called Floor Demo.
I'm lying on my back, pants off, in the center of a circle of 12 people. They're sitting in chairs talking, and I start to drift away. I feel a warm hand on my belly, and I hear him whisper in my ear, "Stay with it." He massages me, his hand on my lower belly, and I feel the energy revving deep inside. The room's attention turns to me, to my pussy, to my surrendered position, to my open legs. They're told to come down from their chairs and move closer, and they do. They're crouched, hands on the ground, crawling towards me, and from the outside we must match an ancient tribe. My stroker massages my thighs, pulling the flesh, kneading it, and bringing heat to my lower body. I feel a thick wave of energy wash through the crown of my head, swelling in my chest, sweeping down and out through my legs. My abdomen contracts, and my body bucks between the floor and my stroker's leg. He finally puts his finger on my clit. I feel swollen, pregnant with sensation. My body rocks on the waves.
All right, so this is a piece
by Judy, called Eyes Locked.
He's on top. I look up, and there he is. I don't want to look. It's too confronting. I mean, it's... Our eyes lock, and I'm overcome by a momentary panic. We are not supposed to be here. Or if we are, we're not supposed to have this kind of moment, where you look at the other person and see the depth of humanity that's uniquely represented by them. This is only supposed to happen when I have a special kind of connection, or if not a special kind of connection, then a special kind of lust, the kind that cannot be overcome, and so you give in just to get rid of it. Except in this case, it's neither. It's just me, and I kind of feel like having sex. We're connected. His cock is inside of me. He thrusts hard for a bit, pumping in and out, and then it slips out. He reaches down, puts it back in, and thrusts again. It's a bit awkward, the kind of experience you have when you don't know someone so well, but you've made this decision to have sex, and so you do. Except here, I know the person well. I live with him. Over the past year and a half, I've watched him change from former homeless guy, fresh out of the recovery house, dopey and unaware, into man, or if not quite man, then on his way to being one. I woke him up at 11:30 p.m. "I'm supposed to suck your cock," I said. By supposed to, I mean that I have given myself an assignment. I am sucking cock. I know it seems odd. It is probably odder for me than anyone else. I am a good girl. I don't believe in indulgent sex. I believe you should act according to connection. But I am tired of denying my sex. I am tired of living in a place that offers the opportunity, even promotes the right to owning one's sex, and then consistently running away from that possibility. I have given myself a myriad of excuses. No one is right. I'm attracted to them, but there's some complication in the friendship that precludes sex at this time. Or I'm attracted, but there's something totally wrong about the person it represents. Or I'm just not attracted, which is the case most of the time. This guy is between categories. 6 months ago, I would have said, I'm just not attracted. Today, it's more like he stirs something in me. I feel my genitals activated, and I find it confusing. For one, he's much younger than me. For the other, well, it's... Until recently, he was the guy who cleaned the place. He's schlumpy. His posture has improved, but when he forgets, which is often, his back curves and his belly rounds out. Used to be his dirty clothes were spread all over his living space. He's smart, but not educated. I don't know that he's ever held a job that he's kept. You see, he's a total threat to my identity. He wants to do the cocksucking downstairs instead of the loft area where we both sleep. Ken and Yi are not home, so he lies down on their bed. I tell him to take off his pants. He obeys. I'm having trouble with the condom. It is tight, and I'm not sure it's going to work. He takes charge, pulling it over his erect cock. I put my mouth over it, sliding it up and down as my right hand holds onto the base. I rest my breasts over his leg. I feel the warmth of his cock seeping into my hand. It feels good. I like the shape, color, and texture of it, the pinkness and firmness of it. Saliva drips out of my mouth onto his balls. I wonder if he minds. A memory arises of another time I fulfilled this same assignment. In that case, he was somewhat a reluctant participant. I was shy. I wanted him, wanting it, but didn't want to admit or show my desire. Then I overcame the shyness and went for it, all the while feeling embarrassed that I was letting it out. I'm sucking this cock with some of the same fervor. Is this what's inside of me, independent of any external force? Is it independent of love, of desire, of connection? Is there some spark that, once ignited, turns to fire I cannot control? Finished, I lay over his stomach, my head nuzzling his leg. "Do you want to have sex?" he asks. I don't answer. "You do! You do want to have sex!" He sits up. "That's it. We're having sex." Part of my mind wants to protest, but the rest of it wins out. He's right. I want to have sex. I want to feel that melting of body beneath skin. I crave the touch and pressure against my cervix. I am turned on. Why not? So we do, and then the moment comes of looking into his eyes, the moment that brings doubt and confirmation to my decision all at the same time.
We do want sex, and this is what we go through just to get it. Welcome to Women's World. Thanks, Judy. That was great. You know, I love it that she gives herself these assignments. I mean, who wants to come play at One Taste? This is a great school, you know, the university here. Good homework assignments here.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
I'm going to read a piece. This is called Women Want Sex. Women want sex. I want sex. I want to do it, be seen doing it, write about it, tease and laugh about it, be free to expose myself about it. I am wet. I can feel the wetness on my silk pants, the moistness rubbing on my leg as I walk down Folsom Street. My left arm circles back to touch the inside of my upper thigh. I am wet through the fabric. The pleasure has seeped from my mouth, circulated through my head, down torso, through pelvis, dripping on the inner side of the leather-studded G-string I wear beneath the silk trousers. I can feel him everywhere, electrical current igniting air that floats my head up like a balloon. He thrusts his tongue down my throat, and it feels like I'm being fucked. Like he can touch my pussy through any obstacles of organs, reason, and resistance. I am his in this moment, and he feels so good. I want more. His smooth tongue and clean-shaven cheek perfectly tease my surging desire to fuck. We pull apart, the sensation so high, leaning back in the leather seats of his car. We sit there, spinning, dazed. He tells me how he hasn't made out in a car in years. He tells the story of how he used to make out when he was still in England. His first girlfriend. They'd park his VW Beetle down the block from her parents' house. They kept a duvet in the back and would lean the seats back and make out. I'm charmed as usual and leave wanting more. Okay, ready? We got Can I, the piece called Sexual Blacksmith.
So, it's morning. I'm in the bathroom, minding my own business, and he comes in and he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm getting ready for work." "What's going on?" My heart beats faster. I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna be asked to commit to something that I can't fulfill." He says, "Well, she needs to get laid." "What? Is he talking to me?" Okay, what's going on? Did she?" "No, S, she needs to get laid. She needs to get fucked. Are you up for it?" "Well, let's see. I'll be 20, 30 minutes late for work. Fuck it." "Sure, I'm ready." And the moment I decide, it's like my cock springs into action. It's like all the blood rushes out. I'm stumbling out of the bathroom. "Oh, shit, I need a condom. Where's this? Where's that? Where's she at?" I almost run up the stairs to the loft. And so there she is, and we giggle. And it's funny because we had an experience before, and it's like I wanted to get together with her again. And it was weird because he made the request. And I'm like, "Oh, man, I'm not used to this. I feel like an interloper, like I'm interfering." "All right, I'm over that. She's hot." So I say, are you ready for this? I hear you need help. I'm on call. I'm available." She smiles. We laugh. We chat a bit. He's getting dressed for work. I'm a little nervous by that. But I slowly get into it because she's hot, and I really dig her. And I like the connection, and the energy flows for me. And so I feel this heat in my body, and I'm almost stumbling, and we play around, and I'm touching her breasts, and around, and I'm feeling the softness of her skin, her nipples hard, as I rub my thumbs across her nipples and under her breasts. and I'm touching her lightly on her pussy. And we're belly to belly. And she says, okay, you ready? And I put on the condom. And I love that first few seconds as I slide the tip of my cock inside her. And I want to just hold it there for forever, really, millimeter by millimeter. And I look down, I open my eyes, and she's just, her eyes are closed, and it's like this moment of crucifixion where she's just open. And I can feel her. And I move my pelvis as deeply as I can, and it's like diving off of a cliff. And I feel every inch of her around me, every inch of her on my cock. I feel every inch of my cock. I feel every inch of my body to my fingertips. I can feel the hair. Well, if there was hair on my head at the time. And it's just, it's love without a story. It's connection without a demand. And I'm late for work.
We have Ohm in the house. We have a practice here called orgasmic meditation. And now we have, and we, the nickname for it is Ohm. And now we have a gentleman in our community named Ohm, and he's become very popular, not only because of his name, but especially because of his name. So he's here from New York. We have a community that's booming and thriving in New York, and this is a piece called She Opens.
She opens the door while speaking into her cell phone. She smiles. She places her hand on my chest, grabs my shirt, and tugs me inside. She pushes me down gently on the sofa while continuing to speak to the man on the phone about some upcoming event or another where they should really try and catch up since their interests seem so parallel. She straddles my left knee, deliberately pressing herself into my leg. She leans forward till her forehead is against my face and her breasts against my chest. On the phone to the other man, she's saying, "Right, right, exactly." Then she covers up the mouthpiece of the phone and whispers, "I only have till 5. I look at my watch and see that I have about 16 minutes left. "I know, yes, just like I was saying before," she speaks into the phone, continuing in a polite business tone as she takes my hand under her dress. Now, as aroused as I am by the speeded bestowing of sensual tidbits, I'm more in awe at the efficiency of this woman. To keep two such distinct channels on within oneself indeed requires a nimble temperament. She ends her call and her administrations accelerate. I leave her apartment elated with about 1.5 minutes still left in the hour.
So you've had a full experience, huh? Now you believe we don't just write it, we live it. I want to thank you for tuning in. This radio show has been brought to you by One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco and Personal Life Media. To contact us, please send us an email at onetaste@personallifemedia.com. You can also find out more information by going to personallifemedia.com or check us out at onetastesf.com. Thanks so much. Thanks for staying tuned in. And thanks, most of all, for staying turned on.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.